This episode of This Week in Wealth is sponsored by Alpha Wealth Group. Tom Fortino is an investment advisor representative of Retirement Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered advisor. WGN Radio and RWA are not affiliated. Here's WGN Radio's Elise Glink and Alpha Wealth Group's Tom Fortino.
Hey, good morning, Chicago. Welcome back to This Week in Wealth. I'm Elise Glink, CEO of Best Money Moves. That's my financial wellness technology company.
And I'm Tom Fortino, an investment advisor rep and founder and principal of the Alpha Wealth Group here in the Chicagoland area.
So we're super happy to have you back. A lot of news this past week, Valentine's Day. Tom, how did it go? Did you have a good Valentine's Day?
It went well. How about
you? You can't even remember. That's how the weeks go now. It's like 6 days ago, and it's like, when was that?
We're moving on. Yeah.
Moving on. All right. Well, I don't want to move on too quickly. First, I want to let everybody know if you've got a question for Tom or for me, you can give us a call, 630-934-1855, or you can go to alphawealthgroup.com. That's Tom's website. So let's start with Super Bowl. Right? I mean, that just happened. People are still watching the ads out there. But one of the announcements that came out at the end of the regular season was it looked like Tom Brady is hanging it up, right? He's decided at 44, seven Lombardi trophies, that he's done with football. And, you know, depending on what happens, I guess, with his signing bonus, he'll have earned almost $300 million during his career. And I don't even think that counts, you know, what's going on with the clothing line, the endorsements, or anything he and Giselle are selling, which I guess is, you know, she's doing okay, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about is how does that relate to real people? Which everybody's like, yeah, can you give me $300 million? Some guy just won the Powerball down in Florida for, I don't know, hundreds of millions. But, you know, when do you get to that place and you step aside and, you know, a lot of people are thinking maybe not at 44 that they want to retire, but they're focusing on retiring early. So I guess one of the things, and we talk about this a lot, but in light of this idea of early retirement, guaranteed income, how much income you need, how do you start thinking through that, Tom? And how do you know when you actually get there? And whether that's at 67 or it's 47 or 97?
Well, you know, the first step in anything you want to accomplish, whether it's a diet, whether it's your career, whether it's fitness, whatever it is set some goals. And, you know, you know, don't be discouraged or put it off to procrastinate because you just can't get to that. You're never going to get to the penny. That's okay. But if you can start to set some goals, that's the first step. For example, if you can say, look, you know, my goal is by the time I'm 65 or even 60. I had someone in the other day that said 55 was their goal.
What did you say to them when they said 55?
Well, you know, it's the same thing I would say to anyone, depending on their age, is we need to test your plan. And so how do you test a plan to give some idea of where you stand? And that's really what it's about. So step one, hey, set a goal. Understand what you need in income. You know, determine what your income needs are. And then from there, which we've talked about this before, at least, it's a process. So if you want to create an income plan, the first step is understand what you need. You know, you have to do some budget work. I know that's not the funnest thing in the world to do. You know, I provide budget worksheets. They're available. You could probably download them from a number of sites. But it's interesting when you start to write out these numbers. I need $1,000 a month for my property taxes. I need $2,000 a month for health care. They start adding up, and you may be surprised. But that's really where the process starts. And then you add in some error, okay, or some fun money, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to add in another $10,000 a year for these things. And now you have a number. And this is how anything gets accomplished. Again, as I said, whether it's a diet, whether it's your career, whether it's fitness, whatever it is, that's really the first step. And then you can start to test the plan. So it's same thing with these individuals. They have assets that they've saved. They will have Social Security at some point, not at 55.
No.
And so we have to look at their plan and test it.
So there's the things. Yeah. And that works for probably, I don't know, 75-80% of people. And then you get letters like the one I got this week from this woman. We're talking, I'm writing about it in my column. So people will start to see that, you know, appear like in the Chicago Tribune and other places later next week. But they live on a farm, she and her son. Her son has had problems. He's running the farm, but then she had to foreclose on the loan she gave him, and then she still let him run it, and now mm-hmm. they're like in trouble because he's basically saying to her, give me $500,000 and I'm out of here with my new wife, and she's going to be left, you know, with this farm. She doesn't have $500,000, or he wants the rights to the farm. Like, this kind of a situation is one of those where no matter how you're planning, like, suddenly an asset could blow up in your face, or mm-hmm. a child is going to, here's another letter I got this week about a family whose child suddenly became deathly ill. He's an adult. The child's an adult. He's in his 20s, but mm-hmm. he's now got something that's going to require lifelong care, and they didn't plan on that. They're, you know, they're like 60. And yeah. So going back to what we were asking yep. about, how do you deal with that?
Those are great examples, Elise. Those are topics that we have to discuss when you look at your plan. I've said it before. It's not about growing a pile of money and picking at it. That's not really a plan. That's an asset. That's not income. So when we talk about, you know, and this is why when I talk about the five pillars to your plan, where it covers these things, what do I mean by that? If you have a pot of money, let's say you've accrued $1 million or $2 million in a retirement account, that's great, right? But the point is, we have to remember, number one, it's not all your money, right? So in other words, if you need $30,000 in a 25% tax bracket, you need to pull out 40 to net 30. 10,000 is going to the government, right? Mm-hmm. In addition to that, you know, the risks you just talked about. What happens if there's a long-term illness? What happens if there's a premature death? We have to consider market risk and inflation. And that's why when I say it's not about growing a pile of money, I mean that we have to start to try to create, and the same thing with, again, the examples you gave when we talk about farmland, those are assets. And we may have heard the phrase before, income is more important than assets because income doesn't run out. So we have to find out ways to create income that lasts a lifetime. And there's sources, there's a number of ideas there where that income comes in regardless of the market. And of course, try to get as much of it tax-free, but also protect it as much as possible. That's these five pieces. We, you know, the asset protection piece, the tax planning piece, the income piece. This is where, hopefully, if we plan and create a plan with these pieces in it, it will protect from some of these things that you just mentioned.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I think people, and we should, you know, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk about these decisions that people make that I think are more emotional, that, you know, a great advisor can help you step back from the emotionality of it, like this farm thing. I have some really definite thoughts about, you know, what happens when you feel like you're married to the house, right, instead of the value mm-hmm. of the asset, and how that complicates things, right? It can really get in the way of what you're trying to do. If you've got questions for Tom, you know, can give us a call anytime you like. We're happy to, you know, he's happy to talk to you. 630-934-1855. Or you can go to alphawealthgroup.com. I'm Elise Glink. We'll be back in a moment with more of This Week in Wealth on 720 WGN. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to This Week in Wealth. I'm Elise Glink here with Tom Fortino, the founder and principal of Alpha Wealth Group, and we're talking about money. Specifically your money. Actually, what we're really talking about is how you actually test your plan so that you know if you can retire and what happens when mm-hmm. all these other funky things get into the mix. You know, one of the things I wanted to say, Tom, about this conversation about this woman with the farm is I see this a lot with people, and it's typically women who get attached to land and property, things that, as you mm-hmm. rightly point out, are assets. And they could be monetized in a number of different mm-hmm. ways. They could be leased. They could be rented. They could be, you know, sold. But they, in, you know, in a divorce situation, you see this a lot. Like, the women are like, well, I need the house to raise the kids. And it's like, no. What you need is, you know, half of the 401k and, you know, half of the house mm-hmm. in cash. And you need to invest that wisely so you have something to live on. And I will often say, and I say it in my books, that a house is just, you know, ceiling, floor, and four walls. It's what you put inside the love mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever sure. makes you feel like home. That's home. But, you know, I'm sure you see this a lot where people get attached to their assets and then the physical stuff. And instead of, you know, thinking of it as an asset for life planning, you know, as they're trying to figure out how the numbers are going to actually work out. And how do you help people make that choice? Because if you want to retire at 55, but you're also committed to maintaining a house that has 12 bedrooms, those two things may not be compatible.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you bring that up, Lisa, because emotions, whether it's with assets that you have, because I've come across it just like you. Yeah, someone's had a family home for years and they've outgrown it. They don't need it anymore. The kids have moved out and so on. Yeah, but emotions, even when you own a stock or you're, you know, you want to hold on to that, or we make decisions emotionally, it's tough because I get it. You know, I don't ever want to be insensitive to that. But when it comes to how do we have the money for the rest of our lives to live the life we need to live, to have the lifestyle we want, well, that kind of trumps all that. So, yeah, you have to focus on that. So, you know, we're talking about primarily, certainly when we're in retirement, especially, how do we replicate that income? You know, talk about emotions. You know, you work 30, 40 years getting paychecks, you know, whether it's every week, every 2 weeks, whatever, and then all of a sudden, you know, you flip the switch, you're done, you're retired, there's no wages, and you're supposed to live out of a bucket of money.
Right.
And so that can be very daunting. And so when we're talking, like we're talking about today, assets versus income, you know, when we talk about income, I mean things that come in no matter what your assets are, no matter what. It's great if you have investments, and you still should. But, you know, you want to make sure your Social Security decision is proper. You, if you have a pension, you make those things. Because that income comes in regardless of the market, regardless of what you have in savings, regardless of investments. The paychecks keep coming in. You may even want to consider using annuities. There's annuities out there. There's all kinds that you, you know, I think everybody deserves to understand how they work, because it's guaranteed lifetime income. And just like a pension, you can even do a joint life income. So this is how we want to create a plan. So once you solve that, I think if I said to somebody, you have all the income you need for the rest of your life, how do you feel? I think most people would say, I feel pretty good. So that's why income planning is a big piece of it. Then we want to try to get as much of it tax-free. Then we want to protect it from these unforeseen events. You talked about it. These are all pieces of these I refer to as the five pillars of your plan. But income planning is kind of paramount. And that's why it's, you've seen in studies over and over why it's the biggest concern of that's the biggest concern of any retiree.
Yeah. So, you know, that brings up the second thing I wanted to talk about, because I think for a lot of times, I mean, for decades, people used bonds to provide that sort of income. I mean, I remember my grandparents talking about clipping coupons, you know, and monthly, you know, payments. They even had, you know, there's stocks that provide you with that kind of, you know, quarterly payments as well. And so my grandparents had, you know, monthly income from that, and then they had, you know, obviously they had pensions, and so on, and that's how they built their retirement. But today, I think people are thinking maybe annuities are the better way to go. I mean, annuities deliver higher payouts, right, than bonds typically, but there's other issues. They're more expensive. So what do you think about, you know, kind of maximizing that guaranteed income with annuities?
Well, I think there's a couple places for this. Certainly as a bond alternative, because in the ones I talk about have principal protection, so you can't, you know, you don't lose money due to market risk. But yes, they can become an income piece. And this is on a piece of the investments. It's not an all or nothing proposition. And as I said, you can look into these and learn about them. You know, there's a lot of opinions out there, and sometimes they're not in the best interest of the individuals. And so if I said to you this can provide income, in fact, joint life income for those of you that are married, income that will last for both of your lives, to the extent you don't go through it, unlike a pension, that will go to your children and grandchildren. There's still an account value. This is how these work today. So there's a lot. They've really evolved over the years. And so you couple that with someone, for instance, a couple could have $60,000 of Social Security, between $30,000 each. That's $60,000 right there of income. On top of that, if you have a pension of $25,000 and then you use an annuity in an example for another $30,000, you could have $100,000 of income coming in. Again, regardless, the paychecks come in. You want to take a trip to Europe, the paychecks are still coming in. I don't think there's mailboxes anymore where the checks come in. So that's an old
reference.
You
don't want them in a mailbox. Stuff. People go rifling through mailboxes. Definitely direct deposit. And
direct
let's throw
deposit.
This in for your tax refunds as well. Please, everybody.
Yes.
Sorry.
Direct
little
deposit.
Little aside.
No, I mean,
that was a little aside. Direct deposit.
That's an antiquated reference, you know, where you say, hey, you know, the checks will just, they're coming and showing up in your mailbox. Okay, let's say they're showing up in your bank account every week. So you replicate that paycheck. And I believe, you know, it's my opinion, that's going to reduce the stress in your plan. That's the income planning piece. Yeah, you still have an investment. You still have the growth piece. You still have these other pieces. But then you can reduce those concerns of where You know, these surveys would say, you know, outliving your income is the biggest concern. If we can take care of that, boy, we've come a long way.
I think there's another part of this that's, I think, interesting for people, where there's a second property or sometimes even a third property that they imagine is going to be, you know, the place that the kids get together and they pass it down. And so even if they only use it once a year for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, they mm-hmm. maintain this asset, this property. It has to be maintained. You have to pay expenses. Somebody's got to be cleaning it. Somebody's got to be, you know, making sure that it, you know, if you're, you know, it's not flooded, it doesn't have hurricane damage, it doesn't have hail damage, you know, all the nice places to have a wonderful second or third home are places that are, you know, in dire straits when it comes to climate change. And so people will pay a lot of money to maintain these properties. Maybe even there's still a mortgage on it, there's insurance on it, and yet nobody's using it. And that, you know, if money starts to get tighter as you get older and you have other needs, you know, letting go of that property and that idea that the kids are going to go there, again, back to the emotionality of it, I think people are having a hard time of it, particularly when you're living to your 80s and 90s and even hundreds.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I've come across that a number of times where someone has a property in Michigan or Wisconsin, and they've had it for years. And there's a couple issues there. Number one, well, let's say you can maintain it and you're okay with it. You have the assets. But then who's going to get it, right?
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, so there's an estate planning component, of course. That's in one of the five pillars that we talk about, estate planning. That's why all of these, you know, nothing stands on its own, whether it's, you know, all of these ideas of income planning, tax planning, investments, and so on. The estate plan can be part of this. Who do you leave it to? You can't split a house in half, right?
Right.
And so that's something you want to deal with. And, you know, you can give one of the children first right of refusal. You can leave it in a trust and have them share it. You know, there's all these ideas, but that's just as an aside.
But that's money you have to plan on anyway. Right. So you've got the assets and now you've got these different pieces of these assets, and sort of parceling all that out over time is really interesting. And there's ways that to do it. Like I've been watching my late father-in-law's estate, you know, as they he had made specific bequests. He had a really lovely art collection. And so he made specific bequests that each grandchild would get a specific piece. And you know, it's kind of interesting to think about how that's all being done. And actually, all the grandchildren in this case are really happy with what they're getting. But you could imagine a scenario where a family is doing that and the kids are not happy. They want, you know, different things. You know, I wanted that house, or I wanted this farm, or I wanted, you know, this piece of jewelry, or, you know, and things aren't so friendly.
Yeah, we talked about quite a bit about estate planning the other week, but you know, I always say, look, if there's no perfect plan in all of these things, but in most cases, it's the children want to fulfill the wishes of their parents, and so when you provide some type of roadmap, you provide what your wishes are, and you can see it. Boy, that just makes life a lot easier for everybody.
Well, that's why we keep talking about this, folks, because Tom and I are of the age where, you know, in our 50s, where this is the kind of stuff that it all starts to gel around you. You start watching your friends get sick. You start realizing your parents, you know, are going, and maybe they've died. Maybe they're ill. You know, maybe they're still living in their 98. You know, I know somebody like that, too. So you've really got to think through all of these different possibilities. You can reach Tom, 630-934-1855. Ask him for the income planning packet and the five pillars packet. It is really valuable stuff. I've gotten it. I use it, and you will too. AlphaWealthGroup.com. You can also just leave a message for him there. And Tom, we are out of time.
I knew. As always.
It's just like the conversation's just getting really good. But we'll be back next week, right?
Yeah, we will.
Okay. Well, in the meantime, we hope everybody has a great week. Be smart with your money. Give Tom a call, and we'll see you again next time on 720 WGN.
Tom Fortino is an investment advisor representative of Retirement Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered advisor. Alpha Wealth Group, WGN, and RWA are not affiliated. Exposure to ideas and financial vehicles discussed should not be considered investment advice or recommendation to buy or sell any financial vehicle. This information should not be considered tax or legal advice. Individuals should consult with professionals specialized in fields of tax, legal, accounting, or investments regarding the applicability of this information for their situation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Investments will fluctuate, and when redeemed, may be worth more or less than when originally invested. Any comments regarding safe and secure investments and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims paying ability of the issuing company and are not offered by Retirement Wealth Advisors. Insurance and annuities offered through Alpha Wealth Group, licensed in Illinois.